Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. We have any changes, Ms. Cornwell?
No changes to the agenda.
Okay.
Make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to accept the agenda as posted. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, our next item is old business, and we have several items of old business this evening. The first one being subdivision 2018-8 Streams Edge Estates TBD LLC in care of Michael Daniels.
In this case, we just want to announce that we did receive environmental information that was requested by the Planning Commission regarding the application.
What the commission might want to do on this one is, and for the newer members, when we get information like that that's sort of general in nature, leave the record open for some relatively short period of time, just so if anyone in the public wants to comment on that information in writing. And it's limited to that environmental information.
Right.
So just a suggestion.
So I make a motion that we keep the record open for 7 business days? Does that make sense?
10
business days to give people time to look at the information that came in and comment on it in writing.
Perfect. Second.
Moved and seconded to keep the record open for subdivision 2018-8 Streams Edge Estates for a period of 10 business days to allow the public to respond to the information received in writing, written responses only. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, our next item is subdivision 2018-9 Oak Landing NCSWLP.
And this was also a case where the Planning Commission left the record open for a specific item, and that was the receipt of a letter. We did receive that letter that was passed along into your packet.
So this is one where, just to remind the commission, the letter was referenced by both the applicant and the next door neighbor. And since they both identified that letter during their testimony, we held the record open for the sole purpose of receiving that letter so we knew what they were talking about. And so that was actually part of the record. And as Janelle said, that is currently in the record. So you can just close the record on
okay.
This one. Barry.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to 2018-9 Oak Landing NCSWLP, I move that we close the record at this time.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to close the record on subdivision 2018-9 Oak Landing. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
You'll need another motion on that one then if you're going to defer it for further action or...
I was going to ask you that. Right. Do we need to defer that at this time?
Or, well, discuss it or do whatever, but you've closed the record, you got to take another step.
Before we move on to that that item, let me just address the some of the confusion apparently that there was among the public regarding the opening and closing of the record and so on. And I think that there was some confusion created by the words leaving the record open. The record was left open for a very specific narrow purpose, and it was just for the receipt of a letter that one of the folks who testified that evening had made reference to and that we hadn't seen. So we held the record open just for that purpose. Because of that, we're not able to take additional public testimony. And I'm not sure that was clearly understood, by everyone. And certainly in the future, we'll do our best to make it clear when those situations happen. So that's why we're not able to take any more public testimony. Some of you, some had expressed some concern, apparently, that they didn't know about the hearing and so on. And if we could just very briefly go over again what the notice requirements are and then the extra things that we do.
So the requirement is to notice the application in the newspaper, and we did do that 15 days prior to the application. We put a yellow sign, which is our physical posting. That was also done 15 days prior to the public hearing. And we also sent a letter to the property owners within 200 feet of the property that was asking for the application. And those were also sent 15 days prior to the meeting.
Plus the note, the posting of the agenda and everything that goes.
Yes, and we post the agenda physically in the planning office and on the county's website, and the agenda is posted 7 days prior to the public hearing.
Okay, thank you.
Just for the record, I legally, I agree with everything you stated, Mr. Wheatley, as far as the process, just so we're clear on that.
Okay, good. All right then, let's move on.
Chairman, in reference to 2018-9 Oak Landing, NCSW LP, I move for deferral.
Second.
Moving secondly to defer action on subdivision 2018-9 Oak Landing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2136, Christine A. Degnan.
So this was also left open for 15 days for the applicant to respond back to a letter that then one of the neighbors had submitted. They did do that within the time frame, and that was also sent via email to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
So we did receive that.
So what we need is a motion to close, and then if there's a further motion, we'll deal with it.
Make a motion to close the record.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to close the record for conditional use number 2136, Christine A. Degnan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, if there's no other discussion on this, then I actually do have a motion on this.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of CU number 2136 for Christine A. Degnan for a medical office based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is similar in character to many other offices in this area of Savannah Road. It's in character with the long history of development of medical and professional office space along Savannah Road. Two, the use of a medical office in this location will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of present and future residents of Sussex County by providing such a use in a convenient location that is close to Beebe Hospital. Three, the applicant intends to utilize the existing structure on the property. This is consistent with other businesses and professional uses along Savannah Road. Four, the use, with the conditions and limitations placed upon it, will not adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways. Five, the use is in a developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. This use is appropriate in that area according to the plan. Six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to medical offices only. B, as stated by the applicant, the use shall occur within the existing structure maintaining its residential appearance from Savannah Road. C, the hours of operation shall be between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with additional hours shall be made by emergency appointment only. D, any dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways. E, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements concerning entrance, traffic, and roadway improvements. F, all exterior lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. G, with the exception of the required handicap spaces, all parking shall be located in the rear of the property behind the office. H, one unlighted sign shall be permitted on the property. The sign shall be no larger than 32 square feet per side. I, there shall be a sign directing traffic on the driveway for visitors to this site. There shall also be a sign at the driveway entrance advising that children are at play. The location of these signs shall be shown on the final site plan. J, as stated by the applicant, there shall be a privacy fence installed along the property to the northeast side of the property. The fence shall run from Savannah Road to a point adjacent to the rear edge of the garage of the applicant's property. The location and type of the fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That is my motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2136, Christine A. Degnan, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is subdivision 2018-10, Overbrook Meadows, Overbrook Acres, LLC. And Ms. Stevens,
I was not here for this one.
Right. So. Have you had the opportunity to listen to the tape at all?
I have listened to the recording of it, but I don't feel qualified to make the recommendation for this one. So I would certainly be interested in discussing.
Not a problem. And that's not a, just for those of you who are listening, that's not an unusual situation. It's totally appropriate. By virtue of listening to the tape and reviewing the folder and so on, a commissioner If a commissioner feels that they are qualified to vote on a motion, they certainly can vote on it. In this case, I think Ms. Stevenson feels qualified to vote, but perhaps does not necessarily qualified to put the motion together.
Yes.
So someone else will do that, and because of that, I think we would recommend that we defer action until a motion can be assembled and put on the agenda.
I do make that recommendation that we defer.
Okay.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2018-10, Overbrook Meadows, Overbrook Acres LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1853, BB Healthcare.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for change of zone 1853 for BB Healthcare for a change in zone from AR1 to I1 institutional based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this site was previously approved as a conditional use for medical office uses. That conditional use was never built and the approval lapsed. This change of zone for the new I1 zoning district is consistent with that prior approval. Two, the rezoning is consistent with the stated purpose of the I1 district, which is to allow public, quasi-public, and institutional uses to occur on properties that are compatible with surrounding districts and uses. Nearby zoning categories include CR1, C1, MR, and an institutional conditional use. The purpose of the I1 zoning and the permitted use within the I1 zoning district are consistent with this area. Three, the site is in the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the current land use plan. And according to the text of the plan, institutional uses are identified as appropriate within this area. Four, the rezoning will not adversely affect neighboring properties, public facilities, traffic, or area roadways. Five, the site is located very near the intersection of Route 24 and Warrington Road, which will provide convenient access to the public uses permitted under the I-1 zone. It also will allow for interconnectivity with the applicant's existing uses on the adjacent property and the road grid serving the parcel. Six, the property is served by central sewer and water. Seven, the rezoning to I-1 promotes the health, safety, and general welfare of Sussex County and its present and future residents by providing a convenient location for needed medical office space. And that is my motion.
Second.
The moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1853, BB Healthcare, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1854, Ferguson Enterprises, LLC. I'm sorry, Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of CZ 1854 for Ferguson Enterprises, Inc., for a change in zone from AR1 to C5 based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this property was originally zoned C1 and is surrounded by properties that are zoned C1. Despite being completely surrounded by commercially zoned properties, the property was previously downsized to AR1. It is now the only AR1 zoned property on this side of Route 9. Three, this rezoning is consistent with the original zoning of the property and the surrounding commercially zoned property. Four, the site is in the highway commercial area and the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the current land use plan. According to the text of the plan, both areas are growth areas that permit the type of commercial uses, including commercial, rental, and office uses that are permitted in the C5 district. Five, the proposed rezoning in this location along Route 9 satisfies the purpose of the C5 zoning district. Six, the site is served by central sewer. Seven, the site for use as a commercial warehouse with a retail component is in a central location that is convenient for Sussex County residents and businesses. Eight, because the property is on Route 9 and because the rezoning to C5 is basically infill to the surrounding commercially zoned properties, this rezoning will not have any adverse effects on neighboring properties, roadways, or community facilities. That's
Ms. Stevenson, just before we go further, and I apologize, should have asked first.
Yes, I did listen to the recording, and I feel prepared to make this
motion. Yeah, thanks. Just so we have that on record, I should have asked that before we got started on it.
Same for the BB Healthcare.
Yeah.
I second the motion.
You. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1854, Ferguson Enterprises Incorporated, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is ordinance number 18-10, forested landscape buffer. So, did you get a chance to listen to all that?
I did listen to this, yes. Okay. And I have some questions and some thoughts on this.
I was just going to reiterate what it was. For the record, we currently have a 20-foot perimeter forested and/or landscape buffer strip requirement in the code. So the establishment of it is not anything new. What this ordinance amendment does, or proposed code amendment does, is extend from the current 20 feet to 40 feet, and then it adjusts the number of trees or vegetation that needs to be planted within that additional space, because we're going from, again, 20 feet to 40 feet, so there's some more vegetation that's required. The other factor in it is that this now takes into account and I would suggest promotes the maintenance of existing vegetation. So in other words, if you have a site plan and you've got existing hedgerows or mature trees, you could come in and show that on your preliminary site plan and use that as your buffer, rather than having to, you know, formally plant trees every, you know, so many trees every 100 feet. That was one of the things that at the time it was drafted, council had wanted to look at. You know, with 20 feet, it's a lot easier to clear cut the 20 feet and then go back and plant a bunch of trees that are small and will take a while to mature, whereas with 40 feet and with changing the code language, the hope is that, you know, that we'd maintain, we meaning the county, would maintain existing hedgerows and that sort of thing around the perimeter. So, but other than that, I mean, it's the ordinance itself's four pages, but it's, the changes are fairly minor. As you know, the commission knows, I think, with new ordinances, you got to retype everything and show the new stuff and underline in italics and the stuff you're taking out in brackets. So that's why it's a long ordinance.
Yep. Oh, on this one, after listening to it, I certainly understand where the idea for this came from. With, you know, I'd like to see a lot more green in places, and I'd like to keep old trees, and you all know that about me. But I don't think we can go with a one size fits all.
I agree.
We can't. I mean, we just had a 7-acre property come to us last meeting. If you put a 40-foot buffer on that, you're basically saying, well, you will not be developing this land at all. So if there is some way that we could get the same thing on a sliding scale or a certain percentage, or
without taking away the common space that we're already seeing.
Right.
Because I'd hate to see the buffer then become the only common, the open space that we're going to have.
Exactly. Because it'll be behind people's houses, and then it becomes somebody's backyard, not a place everybody can go hang out.
Well, and I guess that was part of the conversation sort of internally. So one thing, just to be clear, it counts towards your open space. You know, so you're not, if you're doing a cluster subdivision, you're not losing density because of the additional buffer. So I don't want there to be any misunderstandings on that. One way to look at it, it comes down to, with open space, and this is a policy question, or, you know, a personal question, I guess, with open space, who is the class of people that the code's looking to protect? Is it looking to create internal open space that benefits the property owners in that development? You know, so you back up to a park or whatever in the development, and however many people are in that development get the benefit of that, but maybe not the people on the roads. Or is it that you want to create a greater appearance of open space and vegetation on the roadways, because that's where more of the open space is oriented to? I mean, I don't have an opinion on that, so I say that's a personal decision that everybody has to make. So,
Ms. Cornwell, did you have something you wanted to add?
I just also wanted to note that it is in Chapter 99, and the Planning Commission has the ability to waive and relax some of those standards, because you do that a lot for some of the smaller subdivisions when you have one or two lots, you know, where it does not, you know, it physically does not work. So you could, if you so choose to move forward with the 40 feet, and maybe there are instances where maybe a 30-foot works in one location, maybe the 40 would work in others. So the commission still has the authority to look at that, but if you're thinking you would like to increase it, again, you do have some flexibility.
A couple of things in my mind were, even maybe more basic questions than that, is that I would really like to have known more about what was in the minds of the conceivers when they were thinking about this, and what the background was, and why are we making this change? Why are we doing this? What is the goal that we're trying to accomplish? And this is just one of the things with our system, is sometimes that we don't get the benefit of that information and so on. Although I think in this case perhaps we need it. I also want to say that I think it's altogether appropriate that any increase in the buffer was certainly we count toward the open space, because what it amounts to is perimeter open space, which really benefits everyone. It benefits all the more than just the people who are going to be living in that development. So certainly I think it could count. There is an issue, though, when you have a straight 3/4-acre lot subdivision, right, though, there is no open space against which to offset it, so or potentially could be none. So, that's a little problematic too. So I'm reluctant to move this ordinance forward with a positive recommendation at this point. Although I'm not against visiting this issue and working on it, I guess is where I'm coming from.
Right. I would like to see this worked on. My thing is I have children. And a lot of grandchildren. And if they're in a development, I want them to have a place they can go play.
Exactly. I agree 100%, as opposed to it all being chopped up and the Frisbee area eliminated.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but if there's some way we could do it, I mean, I would even consider, say, I would like to see this worked on a little more. Because, yes, I would like to see some kind of variable boundaries. I would like to see a rule made so that it's not just we have somebody coming in every week with we'd like to have a variance on this, and that if you're doing that, then you're, what's the point?
Don't need to have a rule. So. I agree. And then I also would like to ask, because the AR1 and AR2 only requires 30 feet, would we want to consider making it all consistent? Is there a reason why we wouldn't do that?
Well, that's in the cluster. So this applies to everything. So basically, this would replace that.
Yeah.
So because this is
that would then apply for
that would
be
yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be
as well.
Then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about things that have already been approved? Would they be grandfathered?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, yes.
No, absolutely. And to Bob's point, that just to be clear, I didn't say that, because clustering at Councilor's open space and with a 3/4-acre lot standard subdivision, it really is not an open space issue. At that point, it's a geometry issue. You have 40 feet instead of 20, so you have, with the roads that stormwater management, you just have less physical space to work with if it's 40 feet.
Is there anything we could do to say, if somebody says, okay, we'll give you a 40-foot buffer and we'll throw in some open space, but could I get some relief on how big my lots have to be? Can I actually cluster these houses closer together to have a big, giant open space?
I mean, I suppose we could.
Do anything we want, but yeah.
As long as I'm not going to figure out how to write it.
Yeah. I think in theory, yes, but in practice, I don't know
just
how you'd ever do it.
Just a picture of what I want. And
yeah, because that's almost, you'd be designing each subdivision as its own.
Right, okay.
So. We did talk, and I think at the last meeting, somebody, whether it was from the audience or on the commission, brought up, averaging the buffers over the area of a subdivision, and just I'm going to play devil's advocate on that a little bit, just having thought about it. That I think sounds good potentially in theory, but I think that's too easily manipulated. I don't know if that's the right word, because you could have seriously, you could have a 100-acre subdivision that has 5 or 7 acres on one side that's not buildable for some reason, and that that you couldn't ever use anyway, then that would then skew your buffer on the other part. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I think there's just it's not going to necessarily be that it's 50 feet and then 30 feet and 20 feet. It seems like,
and there's some places that say we've got a property that has a stream in the back, then give it a bigger buffer there, and you got the 20-foot buffer here, but we're still getting a buffer amount, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, when we did the comprehensive plan, we talked about, we had people come in and talk to us about, you know, creating a green ribbon, that cord, green corridors, so that animals could go through, and I like that idea, that there's some way we could do that, and also the tree you want to sit under is the one that was planted 30 years ago, not the one that was planted today, so.
I think it's a great point to save the vegetation that's there. I think the rest of it deserves a lot of discussion, though.
So how do we, how should we go forward on this?
The matter before us is that we have to make a recommendation, yes or no. That recommendation can certainly be qualified and accompanied by other suggestions or what, and so on. But ultimately, we have to pass back a recommendation of yes or no. And that can take the form of no, not in its current form. You know, not necessarily expressing opposition to any change in the buffer, but just not this one. You know, that's one way it could be done. And that can be done this evening, or it can be done at a later date.
Yeah, you're really not.
Do you want to think about it a little more?
Say,
we can defer action.
Can we defer action and have some time to think about how we would like to?
Is there any urgency attached to this that you're aware of?
Is it coming before council anytime?
It will be actually before council before your next meeting. But that's not a big deal because that happens every once in a while anyhow, so they'll just automatically have to defer it.
Oh, yeah. And it's an ordinance. It's not like we're holding somebody in the public up. We're not holding the public up from anything. There's not an applicant or some other member of the public that's being inconvenienced by it.
And they could certainly hold the record open on their hearing to receive your recommendation and any public comment that want or do whatever they want, but any public comment that comes in as a result of your recommendation too, you know. So they have some flexibility on their end.
Mr. Chairman, I make the recommendation we defer.
Second.
It's moved and seconded, to defer action on ordinance number 18-10, forested landscape buffer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearing, so we're glad to see you with us this evening. Giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process, let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings in the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. This is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service.
We're going to confiscate yours.
The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. During this proceeding, Sussex County and its land zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Also, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any question should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission, and individuals both supporting and opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is subdivision 2018-11, Hawthorne Phase 6, Rob the Ranger, LLC.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 28.05 acres into 41 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the north side of Lewis-Georgetown Highway Route 9, approximately 1,985 feet east of Gravel Hill Road, Route 30. The tax parcels are District 135, Map 11, Parcel 66, and it's a portion of that. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Staff would submit for the record comments we received from the TAC group, as it is a major subdivision. We received comments from DLDOT, the Public Works Department, the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, divisions of DENRAC, which is Waste and Hazardous Substances and Air Quality, the Department of Agriculture. Also for the record is an exhibit booklet and a subdivision plan. We'd also note that we did receive, as it is an extension of an existing subdivision, they are required to provide 51% of the property owners to sign off on it. In this instance, they obtained 100% of the property owners to sign off on that. I believe that was based on certain criteria, and that is all I have. Thank you.
Okay, we thank you. Mr. Willard.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Tim Willard, I represent the applicant in this case. It's Hawthorne Phase 6. It's an InSite project. You're probably familiar with Hawthorne. I'm with the law firm of Fuqua Willard Stevens and Schaub. And with me here tonight is Jack Hayes. He's representing